Good evening. We're starting our second class in the series. And those of you who did not catch the first one, I strongly recommend you catch it. It's online. And we're building something. Most of our classes are their own entity. We try to have each class be a class you can just walk in. The way Machon Meir is, people do just walk in for this class or that class, which is perfectly fine. This series is different, as we mentioned last time. And we're going to try to pick up where we left off. There's a very interesting pasuk and a very interesting story we have in the Tanakh. We have a situation where a whole people are witness to supernatural occurrences, what we call miracles. We have a situation where people who are masters of trickery and sorcery and the masters of the masters, meaning their own wise men, come to the conclusion, this is the hand of God. This is the finger of God. And yet one man stands out and says, no, I don't accept it. And Hashem says at the beginning of the 10 plagues, Hashem says, one of my goals here, Paro, is leman teida, I want you to know, I want you to understand that I run the world and there are none like me throughout the planet. And it seems that everyone but Paro gets the message. The Egyptian people, the Egyptian officers, the Egyptian sorcerers, everyone keeps coming back to Paro and saying, Etz Ba'alokimi, this is the end of God, maybe it's time to give in. And Paro holds to his guns. The pasuk says, Im lo ta'aminu ki lo ta'ameinu. Sometimes a person is incapable of accepting because he has decided that he won't accept. And we're finishing off our introduction here. One of the things that we have to ask ourselves is, how anti are we? How open are we to hearing and to understanding? We haven't discussed at all. We haven't discussed accepting anything on faith. Everything we're discussing until this point for the near and foreseeable future is about logic. And even when it comes to logic, a person can be very, very insistent that he doesn't accept it and he doesn't buy it. And one of the first things that I challenge people, when people come to challenge Judaism, so one of the rules of philosophy and one of the rules of debate is define your criterion. Define your terms. We can very often have unreasonable demands that we do not apply to any other area of our life, but for some reason when it comes to religion, we feel that it is okay to have these unreasonable demands. I think that a person has to ask himself, what am I looking for? Am I open to finding it? And what are going to be my criterion for defining what is correct and incorrect? And it could be that in the course of our discussions, your thoughts on this matter will change, but it is something you have to track. Meaning it's very easy to keep asking and keep saying, well, I'm not convinced and I don't understand and I don't see it and I don't hear it and it's like the guy who was sitting at a traffic light and he said, God, send me a sign. I'm going to close my eyes and if you're really out there, I'm going to see you when I open my eyes. And he opens his eyes and in front of him there's a truck that says G-O-D, Guaranteed Overnight Delivery. Now you could choose to say that's nothing. You could choose to say it's something. I'm not saying it is something. I'm not saying it isn't something. I'm not telling you to buy anything of this story. I'm just saying a person has to decide in advance, well, what did you want? You wanted lightning to strike? You wanted prophecy to settle down? What did you want when you made that request? So it's one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves. What are we looking for? So my approach is going to be to explore. I want us to see different approaches that are out there. If at the end of our studies you feel that you've been enriched, we've gained something. If at the end of our studies you feel like you understand and you connect, then we've achieved what I want us to achieve. If at the end of our studies you feel like you're not convinced, then you feel like you still have a lot of questions. So I said it at the beginning of last class, I have no goal to answer all your questions. That's not my goal here. But I do want us to attain a certain comfort level and a certain understanding of some basic concepts. And I hope that by the time we finish, we've attained that. And if not, like we said last class, there are many other places to study. This is just one venue, and I hope we succeed. Another thing that we stressed last time, and we'll mention again, is patience. You can't find everything in a day. And we're purposely having these classes for only a half hour, only once a week, because the concepts that we discuss are concepts that have to be thought about. It's not enough to just hear it once. Which leads us to the next concept that we have to be aware of, that our philosophical world is a world of evolvement. A person who is thinking and growing is a person who is going to re-experience on a higher level, on a more sophisticated level. A person will often find himself working through things that he already worked through. Meaning people should attain a certain equilibrium in their life, a certain equilibrium, a certain balance, a certain feeling of comfort with the path they're on. And yet, if a person is continuing to learn, it is perfectly normal that after a period he comes to question things that in the past were given to him. And he has to work out again. How does this work really? And sometimes those questions are a repeat of the questions he had in the past. And sometimes those questions are of a greater sophistication. And sometimes a person encounters something that shakes everything he understood until now. He encounters a Jewish concept that suddenly says, wait a second, how does this work? Wait, but that contradicts the way I understood that. And suddenly he has to work out everything again. It's normal. As we grow and as we understand more, it's normal that we suddenly have to get greater sophistication and greater understandings in things that we might have taken for granted or we might have thought we understood and mastered and we've lived with as givens for a long time. And sometimes that very quest and that very challenge of dealing with these questions again can shake a person up. It could cause him to question everything because he's like, wait a second, if that's not a given, then what is? No, it's normal. It's part of the process. It's a process that so long as you're thinking and so long as you're growing, you're going to find yourself going in cycles. I'm not saying circles, I'm saying cycles. You're not chasing your tail. You're developing, you're understanding, and out of the understanding you reach a comfort level, and that comfort level could last years. But if you're continuing to think and you're continuing to grow, it's also normal that at some point you have questions, and then you have to work things out again. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to work again. And we don't like working on things like this. Very often it's like we say to ourselves, I was comfortable with this. Why do I have to go back and work this out again? And no one asked us. If we have to, we have to. So we start again. One of the advantages, I hope, of our studies is that I hope at the end of the day, things will be more organized in our minds. And I'm not sure how much of the information is new, but I'm hoping it will organize the information so that it will make it easier for us to put our philosophy and our thoughts in order. People should be careful not to try and jump too high. It's very common today that people want to learn Kabbalah and Hasidut and try to understand all the depths of Jewish philosophy the day they walk in here. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes you read something that's too deep, it will totally confuse you. If things are working, then a person has to build one step after another step. And if a person tries to jump too far, too deep, even if he thinks, this is so spiritual and I'm growing and this is great, he could find himself very confused. And even if he feels like he's building something, it could be that he's building something that's very shaky. Because if you'll ask him, do you really understand it? I'm not sure he's going to say yes. He might say, I connect with it and I feel spiritual when I study it. But I think that we have to try and build something which is logical, which we can be comfortable with. we have to ask ourselves, what's our focus when we approach Jewish philosophy? Are we busy questioning and challenging, antagonizing? Is this a fight? Is this a debate? Or am I trying to learn, to understand? It's perfectly legitimate to ask. You could ask any question. That's not the point. The question is, where is the question coming from? Why am I asking? Am I asking because I want a challenge? Am I asking because there's something in me that says, I don't want to do this? So then I have to realize that that's where my question is coming from. And then it could be that the answer I will receive is perfectly logical, but I'm not going to want to accept it. So we have to look inside ourselves and ask ourselves, where are my questions coming from? I'm not saying don't ask. Quite the contrary. Ask. And Bezrat Hashem, I hope starting this week, we'll put an envelope outside where people can put in questions. If they're uncomfortable asking questions in class, and if there are things you want us to address in the course of our studies, this way people can slip in questions and no one has to know who asked what. And Bezrat Hashem, over time, we'll try to deal with as much as we can. People sometimes spend their lives with the quest saying, okay, this works, but maybe there's something out there that will contradict this. So let me first analyze everything. If a person has no religion, then I can understand that he explores everything. We had students in our GEAR program who explored every religion they could find and then finally came here. I respect that. Kol kavod. There was once a Jew who was in a philosophy class, and he started questioning, and at some point the professor of philosophy asked him, aren't you Jewish? So the guy said, yes. And the professor said, well, don't you know Judaism answers all these questions? So the student said, no. So the professor asked him, well, haven't you studied Judaism before you came to me to study philosophy? So the student said, no. So the professor said to him, don't you think you should look in your backyard before you look beyond your backyard? And I think that's a fair approach, meaning my recommendation to any person in any religion, not only about Judaism, start where you are. Don't start with change. Start where you are. Analyze it. Ask. Look into it. Before you start looking all over. If it works out for you, fine. I'm not telling any person to go anywhere. But I think a person is in error if a person starts looking all over to answer all his questions or to see what questions might exist. Listen, understand, come to an understanding, ask your own questions. After you have an understanding, you want to ask more questions, you want to research some more, great, research some more, come with more questions. The question to a certain extent is, to what point have I reached? Meaning, if the point I've reached is that I'm comfortable with this way of life, but I don't understand it, so then understand. If the point I've reached is that I feel confident that this is the truth, that's very different than what we said earlier. If I feel confident this is the truth, I don't spend my life looking for questions about whether 1 plus 1 is 2. Maybe you could prove to me that 1 plus 1 isn't 2. Maybe. I could prove to you that 1 plus 1 is not 2. I could, logically, if you want. You guys think I'm joking. I'm not joking. And it's not my proof. It's a mathematical proof. It's a scientific proof. But that's not what we're about here today. I'm just saying, okay, you guys think I'm really weird now. It's very complex. I don't have the time now. But I'm just saying, it's obviously I've oversimplified what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it is possible to start looking for questions. If I've reached a point where I understand this is true, and that's the reason all of you are looking at me like I'm crazy, because you're saying, you're not going to prove to me that 1 plus 1 isn't 2. What I will prove to you is that 1 plus 1 is 2 is only a theoretical concept. That other than God, we don't have anything in this world, or let's not word it correctly, that in this world we only have one of things. We could never have two of things, because you could never have two things that are exactly identical. So you could never really have 1 plus 1. So 1 plus 1 equals 2 is really only a theoretical concept. It's not a concept in this planet because you can't... Okay, but that's a long conversation. It's a long conversation. That's not our point here. The point, getting back to the point, is that we... If we've reached a point where we feel confident that this is the truth, then we don't have to spend our time looking for questions about, is this the truth? I don't look for questions about whether I exist. Ask yourselves, do you exist? Is this all for real? Is life for real? Is this a facade? At some point you say, no, I guess I'm going to live within this framework called life. And I'm going to take certain things for granted, that I live, that I feel, that if I take a knife, I can hurt myself, that if I drop something, it's going to fall to the floor. I could theorize for a million years about why it falls to the floor, but at the end of the day, I live life with certain givens. And the givens I live with are because I've attained a certain understanding, a certain confidence in them. And if a person has attained that confidence in the truth of what he understands, then a person should also be comfortable enough not to spend his life searching for more questions. And if he is searching for more questions, then he has to ask himself, why am I searching? What's bothering me? And is the issue that's bothering me an issue that's philosophical, or maybe it's an issue that's psychological? And a person has to really ask himself, what's driving him? One of the things we have to learn is to attain closure. Meaning, we are going to ask questions, but we don't just want to open doors, we want to close them as well. An intelligent person in his life wants to close doors. And there are enough questions without looking for questions, and there are enough things that will bother us without spending our time looking and searching. You have a question that bothers you, I'm happy to discuss it. You could put it in the box, you could put it in the envelope, you could ask it in class when it's relevant, and I don't guarantee you answers for all of your questions. I want us to attain a point where we've reached a comfort level, where we reach an understanding and a comfort level, both on the basics of Judaism. That's our goal. Chazal ran away from debates. Chazal said, you should know the answers if they'll ask you questions, but don't go looking for debates, quite the contrary. Chazal said, you never know when someone's going to throw at you something you weren't ready for, and you won't have the answer. And then you're going to have a difficulty, and then you won't be able to sleep at night. And who said you'll find the answer today or tomorrow or the next day? If you've attained the truth, you don't have to look for every angle and then start questioning and spending your life looking for answers. Two different things, remember. We're talking about a comfort level, but we're talking about understanding. If we've attained understanding, so there are certain things I should be able to move forward in life with. Once I've attained understanding, not just comfort level. Meaning, our goal is to connect with the concept so that it's not only theoretical, but we've reached a comfort level. But I don't think the comfort level alone is the defining factor here. Because then, you know what? Maybe I'm comfortable being an atheist. And the last point I think we have to know before we start learning for real. The human being has animalistic tendencies. And our animalistic tendencies want pleasure here and now. And if we're going to engage in philosophical pursuit, so then one of the things that is troublesome when you start philosophizing is that you suddenly realize that true pleasure takes time. And if I'm going to have to develop something over time, then the human nature, the animalistic tendencies within the human being is going to fight against that. Meaning, it is perfectly normal that every person has within his desire to leave Judaism. Judaism is the best way of life on the planet, but it's the best way of life in the long run. If you ask a person right now, I just had steak and I want ice cream for dessert, but Judaism told me I can't have meat and milk together. Right now I want meat and milk. When we face the laws and the way of life of Judaism, so it is normal that it isn't palatable at first glance. The philosophy may be correct. Everything might be 100%. And I could look at a distance and see Jewish life and say, that's great, that's wonderful. And yet when it comes down to me, I say, leave me alone. And I've had many people tell me that. It's very interesting. I've had many opportunities to take taxis in the last half a year. I don't usually take taxis, but there are times when there are no choice, when there's no choice. And I always end up striking up a conversation with the driver. And it's very interesting, the conversations you get into. These people know that chances are they'll never see you again in life, and they're willing to go really deep, real fast about philosophy and life and everything, especially here in Israel. And very often we reach that point. Last week I was sitting with a guy who was explaining to me why he's an adulterer and why he leads the life he does, and he's cheating on his wife. First time I met this guy, right? And at the end of the conversation, the guy tells me, I know your way of life is right. don't let me dissuade you from your way of life. The guy was, I don't understand how he wasn't embarrassed. He was having this conversation. My wife and I were both in the car at the same time. So he says to us at the end of the conversation, he says, guys, you guys are right. What you're doing is right. But what I'm doing is fun. Now that's also madriga, you know. That's also a level. You know, a guy can look at it and say, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know at the end of the day, this isn't what I was meant to do on this planet. So it's normal and it's natural that when faced with the practical aspects of what our understanding leads us to, we don't feel like doing it. I could explain to you 15 times why this is right, but at the end of the day, that doesn't mean I feel like doing it. What I feel like doing is doing what I want right now. And all the theories in the world are not going to answer that. They're going to explain to us, and then we're still going to be faced with the challenge of mind over matter. Is my animalistic tendency going to govern me, or is my understanding going to govern me? Meaning, there's no way to resolve that. At the end of the day, God did create us in a way that we have animalistic tendencies, and we have desires. And our focus is on the philosophical understandings of what's going on. That will not resolve this conflict, and many people have this conflict guide their lives at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's that choice, like that taxi driver said, you guys are right, but I want to do what I'm doing. And to a great extent, it's very tempting to go that route, only we see the contradiction. And because we see the contradiction, and most people do not want to feel like they're hypocrites, most people would not be comfortable saying a line like he said, so then our desires can sometimes cause us to misconstrue our understandings. Meaning a person has to be careful, and that goes back to the first point we discussed. A person has to ask himself, what's pushing me? What is the driving force behind my questions? What's bothering me for real? And that's not easy. That involves introspection. Now we have another 2 minutes, so let's begin. We said our first focus is going to be the book of the Kuzari. The book of the Kuzari begins with a king of a place called Kuzar. Today they think they know where it is in Russia. And he has a recurring dream in which he's told that his desires are positive, but his actions are not. And as he has this dream, so he becomes stronger and stronger in his actions. He joins the priests, and he tries to do everything even better in his service in their temples, and he keeps having this dream. And this drives him to a quest to interview the different religions and try to understand. He says, okay, if I have this dream, then obviously what I'm doing is not correct, because God keeps telling me my desire to serve him is correct, but my actions are not. And so he starts his quest, and he interviews the representatives of Islam, of Christianity, a philosopher, and finally a Jew. And the first point we have to analyze is what is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi telling us when he tells us this king had this recurring dream? Whether the story of the Kuzari ever happened or not is questionable. More and more it seems like it did happen, but the way the Rishonim view the book is that Rav Yehuda Halevi chose which words he put in whose mouth. He wasn't just writing down a historical fact. Now, it could be historically that the king of Kuzar really had this dream, and really that's what really caused him to pursue it, but this book was not just a redaction of historical fact. So he's writing us something which has some meaning to us. And the question is, what's the meaning of that recurring dream? But I don't have a dream. And so one understanding is that the truth is we all do have a dream. To us it doesn't appear in the form of a dream. But the second a person is open to a positive lifestyle, and he wants to lead a positive lifestyle, and he wants to do what's right in this world, then there is an internal compass that is going to be hammering at him like a woodpecker, and pushing him, just like the king of Kuzar, to search for that which is right. And this leads us to a concept which is not a logical concept, and not a concept which can be proven. I wouldn't say this concept if not for the fact that I've partaken many forums of Geirim, and they all keep referring to this concept. I cannot personally attest to this concept completely, because I was born Jewish, I grew up Jewish, and I'm still Jewish. So I never traveled like a ger. I never had this experience of searching like they did. I've had the experience of searching from within and not from without. But what they attest to, and this you can see this on the Gerim's forum in MSN, and on the Gerim's forum in Facebook, and on the Gerim's forum throughout. The second you find the Orthodox Gerim's forum, the Jewish Gerim's forum, you will see that they all refer to this drive that kept pushing them to search. And when they got here, suddenly, hey, this felt right. Now, that's something which you can argue, right? You're going to have someone telling you something else felt right. So this isn't the realm that we can discuss so much, because to each his own, it's a realm we should know that, according to the Kuzri, it seems like it's a realm that exists, because he made a point of sharing that with us, that there is something that's going to keep driving a person until he reaches a point where he says this is right. We have to end with this point, so maybe we'll mention one more point that goes well with this point of the Kuzari. The Rambam writes in the Yemenite epistle in Igeret Teiman, he says, the Torah is not about living the best life on earth in order to attain the world to come. People think that the Torah is solely about attaining the world to come. Says the Rambam, the Torah is not just about that. The Torah is about living the best life here for here. So a person's going to say, yeah, but sometimes you get killed for being a Jew. So think about that. You guys can answer that yourself. But the Rambam shares with us an interesting concept, that the Torah is the best way of life here on planet Earth for us now, not about the world to come. Here and now. Now, whether we can see that or can't see that might be a question of our vision or not. So again, we've veered off our path because we're dealing with areas that I don't think can be proven logically. And we'll come back to the Kuzari and see other points, Bezrat Hashem, next week as we continue along our path with the Kuzari.